Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am Jordan Patswold. Joining me in the Rock Studio today is David Disty of Disty Counseling Services, registered counselor in our area. David, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Jordan?
Doing awesome. We're going to be continuing on a discussion that we've had the last couple times you have been here. Yeah. Soul Care is a book by Dr. Rob Reamer. And I think for starters, we'll just do a refresher because I think there's still a lot of value in people tuning in today if they haven't caught our previous discussions on this topic. So let's dive in, because I know it is something that is very near and dear to your heart, and it's something that, well, we've actually had the pleasure of having Dr. Reamer on not only this show, but in our community, running conferences and whatnot. So again, as a refresher, bring us back and introduce us to Dr. Reamer.
Yeah, so Dr. Reamer, he's written a number of books. His first one is Soul Care, and it's basically about how do we have a healthy soul? How do we be healthy people? And so there are a number of different principles in this Soul Care book and in the conferences that he does as well. So last time we went over the first two, being identity. When we have a solid foundation for our life, a solid identity as being dearly loved children of God, then that's a great place to be starting from. We also talked last time about repentance and how important it is to have a clean slate, to be repenting of whatever is going on in our lives. So that's where we started last time, and yeah, we'll continue on from there.
Mm-hmm. Again, those two topics, I mean, very, well, I'm going to say it topical in light of worldly things, I would say, in a large aspect, because in terms of when we are struggling through different things and challenges in our life, and when we talk sometimes about mental struggles that we can sometimes go through, often it can come back to these very, you know, common and core Christian themes, if you will, and how we walk in our daily life with these. And when we can kind of get these things kind of in our thoughts organized together, we can navigate our way and push towards finding our true selves in some ways, and how that ties in with our Heavenly Father and Creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We're complex beings, and at some points in history, we've divided, or thinkers have divided us up into different parts. So there's the physical body, there's the mind, and there's the soul, and there's the emotions, but they're all interconnected. So dealing with our well-being is a holistic approach. We need to have healthy bodies, to have a healthy mind, to have a healthy soul, to have healthy emotions. And so, yeah, we look at all of these aspects.
I've often felt, too, in large aspect, when we take the Bible and we're given its directions to how we should live our lives, that, yes, there was only one perfect human that ever walked this earth. And, of course, being our Messiah in Jesus Christ, with that in mind, for us, we can do our absolute darndest to try to emulate, but yet we still fall short. But I find the closer we can kind of adhere to what the Bible says and its directions for how we go about living our life, I think we can say that there will be a closer peace and even healthy way of living. The closer we adhere to it, of course, we'll still come short, as the Bible will all outline that we're all sinners who fall short. But I find that those that are closer to what is going on there, I think they're able to kind of unlock, if you will, a key to just the healthiest kind of life in a lot of ways. When we throw away the priorities of what the world says we should be focused on, but when something like, say, possessions can kind of consume us and that sort of thing, well, the Bible says, you know, the more we have, well, the less we have in some aspects.
Yeah, yeah. So this work is never about achieving the goal or getting to perfection or something like that. That only happens after death. And so this is about continually working towards a healthier and healthier life, because we get to experience, when we live healthily, we get to experience the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and I went through that quickly. I probably missed some. Anyway, we experience the better life, and also has a trickle down effect to others around us. So when parents are healthy, then their kids are healthier. When leaders are healthy, then those that they're leading are healthier. The organization is healthier, be that church or a business, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, being healthy, doing this soul care work is good for us and good for anybody around us.
All right. So once again, a lot of our conversation today will be revolved around Dr. Rob Reamer's book, Soul Care.
Mm-hmm.
Again, in a previous conversation, which if you want to go find after the fact, we are here today on our audio on demand page on our Rock 98.5 website. You can go back and listen to that conversation that we had previously. The order won't matter because we can dive into today. People
Absolutely.
Can then go back and reflect. So while you're here, you might as well stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
So again, repentance and identity were our first two chapters or themes, if you will, going into our next two. Let's begin.
Yeah, so the next one that we'll look at is dealing with our family sin patterns. There are patterns that we can observe in our families, and if there's the same patterns going on in generations before us, and even if you're recognizing generations after you, then it's a good indicator that maybe this is something that will be harder for me to deal with. So there are certain sins or unhealthy patterns that are going to be harder for you, harder for all of us, because they're entrenched in our family of origin. They're things that we learn from a young age growing up, and they just keep on going over and over again. And so it's really helpful to be aware, what are the things that are really common in my family and from the generations before me, and to deal ruthlessly with those things, because they're going to be harder for us.
Mm.
And sometimes they are sin patterns that we notice, and sometimes they're sin patterns that seem to skip a generation. So there's a pattern that happens. Sometimes a child of an alcoholic will also be an alcoholic, but sometimes the child of an alcoholic will be the exact opposite and say, I will never touch a drink of alcohol, and then the next generation is an alcoholic, and then the generation after is not, and then the generation after is an alcoholic. And so it's because all those generations are still tied to the addiction. If you're saying, if you are an alcoholic, obviously you're tied to the addiction. But if you're saying, I will never be an alcoholic, then you're still tied to that same addiction. And so it's passing on the pattern through generations. So it's important to not, I like this one quote from Rob. He says, there is no victory in rebellion. In a spiritual kingdom, there can be no victory through rebellion, only in submission to the king. So if you're noticing a pattern and you rebel against that pattern, that just kind of moves the symptom somewhere else. And so it pops up elsewhere in life. But it's through submission to the king that true healing can come from these sin patterns that keep going over and over again.
Right. And something along the lines of, say, for an addiction, for example, I mean, you alluded to alcoholism in that way, that really for a lot of people that are going through something like an addiction, something like tolerance is just not something that really works.
Yeah.
For many people that go through the struggle, it really is got to be like a got to cut it out kind of thing. There is no have a drink and then be done kind of thing. It's kind of an all or nothing kind of scenario.
Yeah. And so whatever the temptation is that's harder for you, we need to be super ruthless with it and say, no, there's going to be no space for this in my life. And not I'm going to cut back or I'm going to try and manage it, but I'm going to be ruthless with it and say that there's no space in my life for this because it continues on this unhealthy pattern that I don't want for myself or for those after me.
Interesting. And two, beyond the scope of something like an addiction, something going down the lines of family, do you find that there are other ways that it also can kind of be passed around from generations? Or are we talking mostly in terms of the scope of an addiction, for example?
So there are lots of different things that can be passed down through generations. So it can be addictions. It can be things that you might consider. This is specifically a sin. So going through the Ten Commandments could be like stealing is one, or lying, compulsively lying or something like that. Could be addictive behaviors like gambling, sexual addictions, lots of stuff like that. It can also be things that are, you might not classify as a sin, but are unhealthy patterns. So patterns of cutting people out of your life and abandoning relationships. Could be patterns like secrecy or focusing on appearances, trying to make everything look nice. So it can be specific, what everybody would call sins, and can be other things that are just, these are unhealthy patterns that I notice again and again.
something like emotional, potentially, like quick to anger, for example.
Yeah,
would that also kind of fall into that?
Mm-hmm. Not that anger is bad, but if it's the primary emotion or the primary way of dealing with stuff, yeah, that's unhelpful. Could be the same with anxiety and panic or depression too. So yeah, those patterns would be important things to note as well.
So to overcome a lot of these things and to be able to try and correct these things is the first step. It's often brought up in terms of Alcoholics Anonymous, for example, as a case study there, in terms of, you know, coming to grips with the reality that there is a problem.
Yeah.
Like, one of those first steps is admission of it.
Yeah, you almost quoted him. The first step is admit the family sin pattern. You can't change anything that you don't admit is there. So yeah, absolutely. Admit it and don't compromise with it. So say, admitting it is saying, this is a really important problem that I need to deal with. This is something that I need help with. And get that help too, whether it be with a professional, whether it be with some close friends that are willing to walk with you through this process, whatever it might be, get help. You don't have to do it alone either. So yeah, admit it, deal with it ruthlessly, and get help. And also, next piece that he talks about is developing spiritual disciplines. There are certain things that work best for certain issues. So he talks about for addiction. Addiction is a thing where it's very selfish. When you're doing an addictive behavior or taking a substance, it's focused on what this is going to do for me, not how this can impact others around you. So it's a very selfish thing. And it's also one where you feel like you just don't have control necessarily over it. And so Rob talks about fasting as an important spiritual discipline to counter addiction.
Hmm.
Because fasting is very much about not focusing on yourself, but it's focusing on prayer and maybe focusing on others around you too. And it's strengthening your will to do what you want to do rather than doing just what comes kind of automatically would be the right word, I guess.
It's one of the interesting conversations I've had with my kids when it comes to praying and how, you know, if we're praying for something, you know, we're really going to change God's mind about what his plan is or something in that regard. And my favorite answer to the kids, it's like, it's not so much about that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's, a lot of times prayer is just more so saying things out loud to really allow for that self-reflection and to really come to grips with when there is something that you're asking God for, you're really reminding yourself in a large part too. That is a good part of what I find makes prayer so effective in our own lives, that if we are praying for someone, it reminds us, well, what can I do to help that person potentially? Or if I am asking God to be a more patient kind of person, again, there is a reminder just by saying it out loud that this is something I need to prioritize and do.
Yeah.
So, God's will is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, when we pray for something that we're seeking, again, I think a lot of power comes from prayer in terms of just remembering what it is that we pray for to then be able to remember to go with it in our own walks and lives.
Yeah. And prayer is, I like how you put it there, prayer isn't about changing God's mind. I like thinking it, prayer is about changing us. And often, in our Western culture, we get focused on prayer as asking God for things. And I think it needs to be reemphasized that prayer is often about listening to God, about what he wants to talk to us about too. Not just asking for what we want.
Sillily, I can recall a time where I can actually remember as a young person to stop praying for my favorite football team.
Mm-hmm.
To do well.
Yeah.
Because we had a really interesting conversation in confirmation, which is where I kind of developed some of my thoughts and heard my own pastor talk about some of the things that I now carry and pass on to my own kids. And I can actually remember that when I made that conscious decision to never, ever pray for a sports team's success, that the Riders actually made the playoffs for the first time ever. And they actually went on a ride of like 10 straight years where it happened. And I'm like, okay, you made your point there. If you did intervene in any sort of way there, Lord.
But, oh, man. Yeah. So back to talking about fasting. So fasting from food is the main form of fasting that people probably think about. But there's other forms of fasting too. Fasting from behavior. So fasting from your phone or something, from social media. One that's I've found really intriguing is fasting from sleep. So there's something called praying through the watches of the night. And that means waking up at some point in time in the night and praying through that period. And I found that to be a really interesting time, because when you wake up in the middle of the night, your brain is working differently. And so for me, prayer has felt different at those times. And also when you wake up at 3 a.m. to pray, there are no distractions. Nobody is going to be coming to ask you for something. So yeah, that's one way to fast as well. So there are other spiritual disciplines that you can do as well, like serving. So if serving might be something that can help you deal with a certain family sin pattern. So you go to soup kitchen or something like that, whatever it might be, where you're doing something that is just for other people. Meditating on scripture, finding things that are specifically about the thing you want to address. So if you're, we mentioned anger before. So if you're wanting to address the anger in your life, finding scriptures that meditate on peace, contentment, compassion, those sorts of things. So yeah, finding those and meditating on those can be a helpful approach as well.
You're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know. Last Friday of the month, it means Heart to Heart with David Disty, registered counselor, joining us today in the Rock Studio with Disty Counseling Services. Today we are reflecting on the words of Dr. Rob Reamer and his book, Soul Care. If you would like to get more information about some of these things we've talked about today, again, it's part two of a series of discussions that we've had previously, and that first part with the first two themes, if you will, were from last month, and you can find that on the Rock 98.5 audio on demand page. Continuing on here, Dave.
Yeah, so I think just wrapping up this section, it can be really helpful to write out like a family tree. So people can take their family tree and notice, what patterns do I see here? So I did this yesterday in preparation for a group that we're doing at church. I wrote out my family tree, just put all the names down there, and then I started listing traits of these people and patterns that I noticed. So this person was divorced, and oh, it reminds me this person was divorced too, and this person was divorced as well. Oh, and these people dealt with lying. These people dealt with sexual immorality. These people dealt with theft or whatever things I was aware of. And so then you can start to see patterns play out, and that gives you an idea of what things might be important for you to address. So if you see that there are patterns of every generation, people are lying, or every generation there's favoritism, every generation there's this thing or that thing, that gives you an idea of what will be really important for you to focus on. So yeah, drawing out that family tree, that genogram, is a great approach.
And again, it's not to use these characteristics or attributes or addictions that have gone on in previous generations and to just raise your hands and go, this is hopeless, because it's in the family.
Yeah.
It's again to go through some of these things we've already outlined today to really overcome.
Yeah, we go through these things to not to identify them and say it's hopeless, but to address them to improve your life and the lives of those coming after you and everybody around you.
All right. Again, All You Ever Wanted to Know and Heart to Heart with David Disty. We'll take a quick break, but more when we come back on The Rock. Back here on All You Ever Wanted to Know and Heart to Heart with David Disty, as we go through Soul Care with Dr. Rob Reamer. Again, Dave, I think it's fair to say you've read through the book countless of times in terms of being able to use Dr. Reamer's words to kind of influence the way you're working with people, and connecting that to that, if people do want to use their walk and as Christians to go about working their way through things through counseling, that certainly is an avenue that you're willing to work with people through. If it's something that's still a little, you know, nerve-wracking, there's still lots of ways that people can work through what they're going through in a manner that, you know, they feel best suits them.
Absolutely.
And it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of way of handling things, counseling.
Yeah, there's lots of ways that people do counseling. So, yeah, you can do it face-to-face, in person, by phone, by text now is a big thing as well. Since COVID started, a lot of counseling has been over Zoom and other kind of web ways too. And there's lots of approaches. So there's equine-assisted psychotherapy down in Willowbrook. There's a lady who's doing that. And so, yeah, there's lots of approaches to counseling, lots of ways people can get help. And you don't even have to use counseling. There's lots of ways to address what you want to change in life without counseling, too. So talking with trusted friends and good mentors as well.
Mm-hmm. We've often talked about, too, about how counseling, in terms of getting people help and through their walks of life. And I think, again, as you so eloquently put in one of those promos that we had been running, it's something that's just so easy and quickly to remember in terms of counseling isn't for crazy people. It's for people whose worlds have gone crazy.
Yeah.
And, well, whose world doesn't every now and then, right?
Absolutely. Everybody's does. Yeah.
Part four is where we'll dive into now.
Yeah. So this next chapter is on forgiveness. And I use this chapter a lot in counseling because out of all the stuff they've read on forgiveness, this chapter in Soul Care and Forgiveness is the best thing that I've ever read. It's, the whole book is great, but this is the best thing on forgiveness I've ever come across. So Rob talks about forgiveness is a matter of obedience. Forgiveness isn't about not feeling hurt. It's not about everything feeling okay. It's not even about reconciliation necessarily. But it's about choosing to not hold bitterness towards the other person, choosing not to act with bitterness towards the other person. And so this is different from reconciliation, because reconciliation means you need to forgive the other person. The other person needs to admit their wrongdoing and change and commit to not doing that again, and then rebuilding trust. Forgiveness is just on our end, saying I choose to forgive the other person and doing the hard work again and again and again of forgiving. So it's something that is unilateral in that you can do it regardless of what the other person does, which means you can do it with someone who is unrepentant. You can do it with someone who you've lost contact with. You can do it with someone who has deceased, because they don't have to have any interaction with you in order for you to forgive. This is just about you. So forgiveness is about obedience, not just about feeling better. Yeah. We deal with that part later on, but yeah, this is about forgiveness, or about forgiving as an act of obedience. And so why forgive? Because we're forgiven. If we've been forgiven, it's fair that we pass that on to other people as well. Jesus taught a number of parables along these lines too. The servant who was forgiven a huge debt and then went on to imprison a fellow servant for the relatively smaller debt that was owed him. Hmm. And so the servant who didn't forgive, he ended up, being in a bad spot for that. And so we forgive because we've been forgiven. And we forgive also because that bitterness is corrosive to our souls. It eats away at us.
Hmm.
So bitterness is a tool of the enemy. And we can't heal when we're using a tool of the enemy. It's like if you hold up a shield, that shield stops people from hurting you again, but also stops God from accessing your heart to heal too. So when you hold up a shield, it keeps out the healing. And so we need to let go of that bitterness shield in order to be healed and live the life that we want.
I think the nature of forgiveness really comes into the purview of a human, especially when they become a parent.
Yeah.
Because it seems like so many ways I can compare, the love that God has for me can kind of be passed down along the lines of exactly how I feel about my kids.
Yeah.
In terms of how he is our heavenly father, as I am just their regular father in a lot of ways that, there may be times that I feel saddened by a decision that they choose to make or something along the lines of, a misstep or them not listening, no matter how many times I have told them to do a certain something, that the message still isn't getting through, that they fall short, but there's still nothing that can take away just how much I love them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing how our interactions with our kids and interactions with our parents impacts our perception of God. There's a huge tie there.
Now, it's going to bring me so much more incredible joy, when they do as I say. And and so again, likewise, I'm sure God, our Heavenly Father, likewise, the same for me when I do everything according to plan, although it won't be everything. There is going to be certainly a lot more peace that comes into my heart when I see that in terms of what they are doing. Forgiveness, on that note, I feel like just like God forgives me, likewise, when we humans pass that forgiveness on to others, like say our kids, for example, or our peers, or even complete strangers that do wrong to us, there is an element that for sure that is freeing of a lot of stuff going on upstairs in our heads.
Yeah, absolutely. When we forgive, we let go of that bitterness and when we hold on to bitterness, there's a lot of energy that we put into that, emotional and mental energy that we put into it. And so, yeah, when we let go of that, it's freeing. We often feel lighter, and there's a sense of peace that can come with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's great.
And I think, too, when we come to terms with forgiving those, it comes down to a matter of, much like we've talked about, in terms of behavioral situations, too, where the people that we know, maybe it's our kids, for example, or relatives or something like that, they do to really upset us. When we really try to discover that, hey, are they really doing something that upsets us because they want to upset us, or do they have their own issues that are going on? Once we also become aware of those situations, forgiveness comes a lot easier as well, when we recognize that that person who maybe cut us off in traffic, well, the reason why they did that is that their mind's completely distracted because they have a loved one in the hospital, or they have their own potential struggles or addictions in their own walk of life that are just keeping themselves, you know, distracted from living a perfect life too.
Absolutely. So yeah, one of the principles on how to forgive is to remember the similarities between us and others. So you mentioned someone cutting you off in traffic. So it's so easy for us to go, or for me to go, oh, that person that cut me off, what a jerk. And then I remember, have I ever cut somebody else off? Oh yeah, absolutely.
Probably, yeah.
And like, oh, that person didn't turn their blinker on. Oh wait, yeah, the turn signal on my van isn't working right now. Okay, that's me too. So yeah, recognizing the similarities between us and others is really, really important. And it can be hard sometimes, because if there's, say, a partner cheated on you, and it's like, well, what's the similarity between me and my partner? I've never cheated before. That's not something I've done. Well, what have you done anything to hurt your partner before? Yes, guaranteed. I don't think there's anybody out there listening that's been a perfect partner. So, yeah, is there any way that you've hurt before? Have you ever done something to betray somebody else? Yeah, absolutely. Like you mentioned, the person who cut you off in traffic, maybe they're distracted with some big stress in life. Maybe they're hurrying off to the hospital to take a loved one there, to meet a loved one there. And so, yeah, have you ever done something because you're distracted? Yep, absolutely. Have you had some of those same motivations for doing something hurtful? Were you acting out of your own pain or your own fear? Absolutely. So noticing the similarities between us and others is a really helpful piece.
Exactly. All you ever wanted to know in Heart to Heart with David Disty today on the program. A lot of our notes and features today, again, derived from Soul Care, a book written by Dr. Rob Reamer, continuing on with forgiveness, which for some, too, like you've alluded to, David, it can sometimes feel challenging, because what does that mean then when we go from here? If it's someone who is still, in fact, living, does that mean I still have to really pretend like that initial obstacle or frustration never ever happened? I guess this is where it gets rather interesting, because I think for some, they don't want to forget, but truly, if we are to forgive, we kind of do have to give a second chance, because I mean, God gives us lots of second chances. Or how do you respond to something like that?
I don't think we do necessarily have to give a second chance. We can forgive and let go of the bitterness without giving somebody a second chance. So if somebody has done something harmful to you, and they have not indicated that they want to change that, and that they would continue that harmful pattern, we don't have to give them a second chance to continue harming us. So if somebody, say, has physically assaulted you, you don't have to say, okay, well, that's fine. You forgive them. But you don't have to put yourself in a situation where you'd be physically assaulted again. You say, no, I'm going to choose not to be around you because I don't really enjoy being physically assaulted, to put it mildly. So putting up boundaries, I think, is an okay thing, as long as those boundaries aren't vindictive or done out of bitterness. But when you feel peace about what's happened and you decide, no, I'm going to put this boundary up, I think that's totally okay. We don't have to reconcile with everybody, because some people may not be in a position where they want to do their side of the reconciliation work.
And that would be the key, really, in terms of if things can be remedied, if you will, or back to normal. It's twofold in a lot of ways. Much like we may ask for forgiveness time and time again, but unless we truly show that we are changed, I mean, we're likely still going to encounter the same obstacles that we face for our own sinning, if you will, and asking for forgiveness of someone.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's an important piece if we ask for forgiveness and we need to show that we really do intend to change. It doesn't mean that you'll never mess up again, but it means that I'm going to do the hard work to work on changing. So yes, I may hurt a person again, but man, I'm going to own it when I do hurt them and apologize and not defend myself, but just truly own it and keep on doing the hard work to figure out what's at the root of this and to change that root.
So from here, and forgiveness, I mean, is there more that you want to still tackle in this regard?
Yeah. How to forgive, remembering God's grace. So God has forgiven us so we can forgive others. So really soaking in that grace. Remembering similarities between us and other people. That's a big piece. And also praying blessings on others. So Rob talks about a time when he realized that the importance of praying blessings on others. And he was... there was a person in the church that was telling lies about him. And so he says, this Oscar guy, like, I just couldn't, he wanted to pray the imprecatory Psalms, the ones where David's saying, God, smite the enemies, bring down your wrath on them. And God told Rob, no, bless them. Bless Oscar. And so Rob started off praying, oh, God, I pray that Oscar's wife would like him somehow. I don't know why. He's such a moron. I pray that his kids wouldn't turn out like him because, man, nobody wants more Oscars around. But as he prayed blessings and the blessings became more positive, I'll say,
yeah,
then that was something that was changing Rob's heart. And so often when we have bitterness in our hearts, we're like, man, I hope that other person suffers too. But if we instead pray blessings on them, that's a powerful thing. To pray all the things that you want in your life, the peace, the stability, the intimacy, the love, the joy that you want in your life, to pray those same things for the other person, now that's a shift.
Mm.
That's a very important shift.
And it goes hand in hand with some of those things we've outlined to, you know, being cut off for a reason. Well, again, mm-hmm. is someone that they know going through a hard time? Are they mm-hmm. distracted because they're trying to get their own life and affairs in order in such a way? I know for my kids, for example, when it comes to something like an issue of bullying arises,
mm-hmm.
and often if it's something like name calling or even being pushed or something in that regard, I ask them, just in your heart, know what they're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to combat it with pushing back or name-calling back.
Yep.
Because often what happens, at least I feel, is that when it comes to kids and, you know, their name-calling in that regard, mm-hmm. chances are they're doing it because someone's done it to them.
Yeah.
And now they're passing it off and down the way. And what I've told my kids, heartbreakingly, sometimes kids are called names by... Well, the unfortunate reality is by members of their own family, mm-hmm. potentially. So they're now lashing that on to you.
Yeah.
So now you have a choice. You can pass it off to another kid, which I really don't want you to do. Because,
mm-hmm.
Again, then they're going to pass it off, and they're going to pass it off, and they're going to pass it off, and so on and so forth. Try and take it upon your heart to just break the cycle there.
Mm-hmm.
Let it stop.
Absolutely.
Don't let it go further. Recognize that one little shove, you know, hopefully, yes, it won't hurt, if mm-hmm. you will, in that way, or just even a name being called in some way, just recognize that, yeah, that's not fun, but just mm-hmm. let it try to stop. And again, like you say, if that kid does happen to be being mm-hmm. name called by someone really near and dear to their hearts, kind of thing, well, maybe it's praying that, you know, their situation gets better wherever they happen to find themselves
mm-hmm.
in their own lives in that sort of way.
Yeah.
Likewise, if we feel like we're being mistreated in the workplace or by just someone random you run into in the street. I know my mom took a liking to, getting cut off in traffic. Hey, a quick moment of prayer for that person
mm-hmm.
that isn't sarcastic.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so like you said, the playground analogy or story, this isn't just about changing things for our own well-being. It is for that, but it's also for stopping the cycle. Because when we pass on that negative stuff to someone else, it just continues the cycle. So if we can help to break that cycle, great. That makes the whole world a better place too.
That being said, let there be a cycle of forgiveness.
Yes, but... yes, let's get that cycle going.
But again, referring back to stopping cycles of, say, you know, intergenerational
mm-hmm.
things that you've kind of alluded to before, recognizing some of those things that, hey, I think I have an opportunity here to really stop something and to overcome, to make everyone that comes after me better off in the end too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another piece in forgiveness that often people talk about, man, how long is this forgiveness going to take? Like, I've forgiven the other person, then it came up again. Why is it coming up? And it's because if there's, I use the analogy of a 5-gallon pail. This is one that Rob uses too. If you have a 5-gallon pail of wounding and you offer forgiveness once, then you may have taken a cup out of that. And well, good, you're 98% of the way done. But then we offer forgiveness again and take another cup out. We offer forgiveness again and take another cup out. So that 5-gallon pail, in order to fully empty out that 5-gallon pail, we need to express and feel all 5 gallons of the wound. And it really helps if the other person can hear all 5 gallons of the wounding and respond with a 5-gallon apology to really say, yeah, wow, I messed up and really hurt you. That really helps. But the person who is forgiving needs to acknowledge all 5 gallons of the hurts.
Not just 7 times 7 times 70, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so this is a... It can be a long
process.
Insane,
but at the same time, well, the words came directly from Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and it's not about keeping score that, oh, it's 490 times I need to forgive. Oh, great, I'm at 480. I'm almost there. No, this is... that's a kind of a...
It's a mindset.
Symbolic thing for this is a perpetual thing. You keep on forgiving. And so as long as there's something in that 5-gallon pail, you forgive again. So this goes back to praying blessings. If the hurt comes up again, if the person comes up again to mind, all right, this is an opportunity to pray blessings again. And by doing so, I'm going to take another scoop out of that 5-gallon pail and get one scoop closer to forgiveness.
Excellent. Again, All You Ever Wanted to Know and Heart to Heart with David Distie as we reflect on the words of Dr. Rob Reamer in Soul Care, how we can take it and walk in our own lives with these things that we can do. If people do want their own copy, Dr. Rob Reamer, Reamer spelled R-E-I-M-E-R. I believe I have that right.
That's right.
Okay, excellent. So simple Google search away will take people to an online bookstore that they could potentially get their hands on a copy of this too, along with the many other things Dr. Reamer has written in this regard.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of great books. There's a lot of them. There's a new one that I am working through, Soul Care Leader, which takes these soul care principles and expands them, goes deeper. So that's a great one too. And he just came out with another book, The Tenderness of Jesus, and I haven't gotten that one yet, but I'm excited for that. So yeah, there's lots of resources out there.
All right. Anything else we want to dive into today?
There's a lot more, but yeah, looking at the time, we're not going to get there. So the next two chapters are about healing wounds and overcoming fear. And so those are pieces that we can explore next time.
All right, so we can do that for sure. All You Ever Wanted to Know and Heart to Heart with David Distie joining us on the last Friday of the month. So we look forward to him joining us next time here on The Rock 98.5. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.